Blog Talk Radio.
I think it's about that time, fellas. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Come on with it. Come on with it. You know I love it.
Here we go. To kind of like get that party started, man. That means that we are officially ready to talk sports with 12 man. Wow, we're spending a week off. We feel a little rejuvenated, refreshed. But let's go ahead and get this party started. Of course, today is June the 10th, and I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host Robert Ford, and also Jaquan JQ Jenkins. So I guess I got to check in with my fellas. I'm starting out with JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh man, I'm good. Back like we never left. Ready to get it started.
I love it as well. Mr. Rob Ford, traveling man, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, ready to go, Doc. We got a lot to talk about, man. We got a lot happening, especially in the NBA.
Yes, sir.
That's it? That's all you got, NBA? Okay, I got it. For those who don't know, this is what we always do. If you want to call into the show, let's start the numbers, as always, 424-243-9519. That is the official call number. We're also available via Twitter. If you go to the number 12, THMAN Sports, that's our Twitter handle. And then finally, you will find us on Facebook. JQ, we got to get your picture up too as well, sir. If you go to facebook.com/12manSports or Talking Sports to 12 Man, you will find us. And that is it. But without further ado, we have a lot of things to jump into. And I guess first and foremost, we got to talk about some NBA playoffs. I was going to hold off because I was excited, because last week I was going to talk about how you both had a Geno Smith poster in your room, but we're going to talk about that later on. But anyway,
come on, man.
LeBron, I know. He's two wins from the title, man. And I got to tell you guys, before we left, I don't think we anticipated the Cavs being this close. But what do you say now? I'm going to start with Rob. What do you think about this, sir? Two wins out, man. I think we were kind of wrong on this prediction.
Well, I mean, obviously the finals are not over yet. I mean, it was just just 2-1, and I think it's funny. I think a couple of weeks ago, I know JQ and myself, we both predicted Golden State to win this series 4-2. I can't remember what Andre's prediction was on this, but I think we might have all had the same prediction, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And I'm gonna go ahead and ask this question before I give my opinion. And do you guys still feel the same way? Is it still Golden State 4-2, or are they going to win 3 in a row?
No, I think it's Golden State in 7. I think they win in Oakland in game 7.
Golden State in 7. What do you say, Dre?
That's wishful thinking, man. I really do hope they can pull this off, man. But I don't know, man. I'm gonna go with my heart and say, yeah, they're going to be like JQ. They're gonna pull this out. It's going to be tough, but yeah. Kind of scary. I'm hoping and praying for that. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, game 4 is going to be the important game in this series. Obviously, the next game is easy to say that here. But I personally believe whoever wins on tomorrow night is going to win this series. If Cleveland wins tomorrow and go up 3-1, Golden State is not going to win 3 straight games and win this series. And vice versa, if Golden State wins, I don't see Cleveland going to Golden State and win another game. They've already stolen one game in Golden State. I can't see them stealing a second. And so obviously game 4, the magnitude for this game tomorrow is going to be very important for both of these teams to have a chance to win this series. And what's mind-boggling to me is I think we all predicted Golden State to win this series. And Cleveland could very easily be up 3-0 in this series. I mean, they've just totally dominated this series. When you look at Golden State has only led at the end of one quarter in 3 games so far in this series. And that one quarter was the end of overtime in game 1. And so, I mean, you can say two games is a coincidence, but when you get to 3 games, it's becoming a pattern. And at this point, to me, it looks like Cleveland is like I said, two games is a coincidence, three games is a pattern. And the way it's looking right now, I mean, if this is continuing to be in a pattern the way it is, you have to easily make a case that Cleveland is going to win this series.
JQ, go ahead, sir. What are your thoughts, man?
Well, you know, but the counter to that also is that you could really make a case for Golden State being up three games to zero in this. I mean, these games coming down to the fourth quarter, and, you know, you've had Oakland and Golden State come back, but they're never out of it with the way that Splash Brothers can shoot the three ball. But, man, the ISO offense that Cleveland has resorted to and what I talked about some weeks ago, getting away from the regular rest, letting LeBron play as many minutes as he can handle because you have all summer to rest, and running that offense through him every time down the court, and Golden State making no adjustments at this point, and just the magnitude of what he is doing is just amazing. There's no reason for them to be up two games to one considering the injuries that they suffered. I mean, you have to
take that out
to him. He's just taking the bull by the horns and all the hate, and he can't do this and he can't do that. And, I mean, it's all ISO LeBron. You know, it's not complicated what they're running.
Absolutely.
but they're controlling the tempo of the game. They're not letting Golden State get out in transition and let them get those transition three-pointers. And they've played an awesome job defensively. And I want to give some credit to David Blatt, but at the same time, I don't think he really had a choice, given all the injuries that's occurred. It's, you know,
absolutely.
You give it to LeBron and you get out the way and you run some motion off of him, and then you let him make the play. You let him be Magic. That's who he is. He's Magic Johnson with more athleticism. He's not Michael. Let's let that go. He's Magic with more athleticism. He wants to pass and get everybody else involved. He doesn't want to shoot the ball 35 times a game, but he has no choice. So, I mean, I take my hat off to him. And before, I gave the credit to Steve Kerr being at the, you know, at the footsteps of Phil Jackson and Popovich, and I'm waiting on him to make an adjustment. And I think he got to it with David Lee. And game four is going to be real interesting to see how much he uses David Lee in that pick and roll with Stephen Curry, and to see if Cleveland can adjust to that, because when David Lee was in the game, he helped bring them back. He helped get Stephen Curry going in that fourth quarter.
But you're going to see Cleveland you're going to see Cleveland make an adjustment for that David Lee substitution. I don't think Cleveland was ready for that, but I think as well they're going to come back and make an adjustment to that as well. But the key for Golden State is how much of that fourth quarter Stephen Curry carries over to tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
And you know, we'll have to see. He finally started to get a little bit of a hot hand. He finally was starting to get a little bit of separation on his jump shot. And if that can carry over to tomorrow night, they'll definitely have a shot at winning in Cleveland. But I totally agree. I mean, it's a straight smash mouth basketball for Cleveland. I mean, they've been pretty much punking the Golden State Warriors. And Golden State is going to have to come out with some kind of a fight tomorrow night. I mean, they've been getting punched in the mouth physically, and they're going to have to prove that they're not a soft team on tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Piggyback on both your points too, and it feels like styles make the fight, guys. Because a couple of things I want to talk about, and I agree with both you guys that game four, very pivotal game, but to kind of mirror what you're talking about too, Rob, about the physicality, and who would have thought that the East is bringing the physicality to the West, because the West, they've been going up and down the court. If you slow it down, you have this half-court game, like JQ said. You know, LeBron is just playing the role of Magic Johnson. He's sitting back there. And who would have thought if you would have lost Kyrie Irving, you've lost Kevin Love, you lost a lot of people, and still LeBron is still doing what he's got to do, man. It's pretty phenomenal as far as how they're doing everything too. I mean, the Splash Brothers, they're just literally just, you know, throwing a lot of jump shots. They really don't have a physical inside presence, guys. So that's definitely showing itself. Like you said, JQ, David Lee's helped out. Hopefully they're going to make adjustments. Because you got to think that with the way that Golden State can score, they should be able to keep staying in the games. But it's just come down to a lot of last-second shots and whatnot too. But it's been an interesting game. And you mentioned it both you guys have talked about defense. And what about, you know, Dellavedova, man? What's this guy doing, man? Is he like, first he started out like, I love the comment, somebody said he was kind of like the ugly brother. Now he's like Khaleesi from Game of Thrones. He can pick anybody he wants. Is this the coming out of Matthew Dellavedova, or is this guy just kind of like changing the game, man? Because he's put a lot of clamps on Stephen Curry. What do you think about that, JQ?
Well, you know what? He reminds me a lot, not necessarily in stature, but the way he's playing. You know, he's got that Bruce Bowen, Tony Allen thing happening where he's locking down, and he's not locking down so much in a, you know, an open court perspective, but they basically have said, we're going to play 4-on-4. I'm going to face guard Stephen Curry. I'm going to follow him wherever he goes. I'm not going to help off of him under no circumstances. The only way you get any separation between me and Steph is if you run, you know, that screen and that double or triple screen. But other than that, I'm guarding him. I've got him the whole time, and nothing else matters. And he has just embraced that role. And, I mean, you know, he went to the hospital for cramps. And I think that's part of the reason why you saw Stephen get off a little bit, just because he was so exhausted in that fourth quarter, chasing him around. You chase Stephen Curry around, it's like chasing Reggie Miller around or Ray Allen for four quarters. You're going to be exhausted, especially if you don't get any rest. So I applaud him. I take my hats off to him. He is playing a phenomenal game. And LeBron spoke on it. He's somebody that's been discounted his whole life. You know, he had to go to St. Mary's. He didn't get drafted. You know, people were booing him early in the season, and now look where he is now. And I think they said that his jersey has sold more in the finals than they did all season long. So, I mean, hats off to Dele. He's playing a serious game.
He's doing fantastic. Stephen Curry shooting so quick, man. Give him love, man. What about you, Rob? What are your thoughts, sir?
It's kind of mind-boggling what he's doing. And, you know, you saw Kyrie Irving play tremendous defense on Stephen Curry in game one. And, you know, after he was knocked out of the series, you thought, you know, hey, this is over. But Dellavedova has come in and pretty much has done the exact same, pretty much producing the exact same formula from the defensive end. And using his body tremendously well on Curry as well. If you notice, a lot of times while he's guarding him, you know, he gets his hands up at the right times, but he's putting his chest into Stephen Curry and doing a really good job, you know, of doing it. And, you know, and JQ made a great point here. Cleveland doesn't really necessarily have the depth based on all the injuries they've had. And you can see it a little bit in the fourth quarter. They look a little gassed by the time not only Dellavedova, but the team. And that's the reason why Golden State has been able to kind of get back into some of these games in the fourth quarter, because of the lack of depth that Cleveland has, and it's taking its toll on them come the fourth quarter. So, and you know, I expect another game tomorrow night that's going to go down to the wire, and I think Cleveland is going to have to get out to a decent amount of lead again, and in order to win, just for the standpoint that they don't have the depth that can possibly, you know, hold them off. They're going to need to get off to a good lead to hold them off again in the fourth quarter, in my opinion. So, Dele is going to have to be huge again. And you know, they got a new song now in Cleveland. Yeah, instead of peanut butter and jelly, it's now peanut butter and Dele.
Yeah, they wild.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see if they're going to be singing that again on tomorrow night.
Well, I got
peanut
one point
butter
to that.
And Dele time.
Yeah,
peanut butter deli time now.
I actually think Golden State wins tomorrow by double digits, and here's why. I got to see David Blatt make the adjustment before I can give him the credit for making the adjustment on David Lee, for one. And for two, that celebration, and I posted it on Facebook, that celebration they had on 4th Street in Cleveland was so outlandish. You would have thought they had won three titles in one night as opposed to just going up 2-1. And then you bring LeBron to the set to talk to D-Wade like he'd already won the title. If I'm Golden State, I have to take all of that super personally, and they have to come out like angry, cornered raccoons. Like, I'm not going to get caged. You're not going to stop me. We're the best team in the league all year long. We're going to come out and show you this. And I really do. Look, I'm an Ohio kid. I like LeBron. I want him to win. But I believe Golden State wins tomorrow by double digits.
You're fighting history.
Here's my thing about David Lee. Here's the thing in regards to David Lee here. Yes, he came in and made a nice impact for Golden State on the offensive end, but he's going to be a huge liability for Golden State on the defensive end. And that's the reason why he hasn't been playing much all year. And I think Cleveland is going to exploit that. And I think it's going to work for a little while, but Cleveland is going to exploit his liabilities on the defensive end, especially in the pick and roll if he has to guard LeBron James. It'll be a cakewalk for Cleveland if David Lee plays a lot of minutes tomorrow night.
Now if they go to some semblance of a 2-3 zone, because if you think about it, LeBron is not a 3-point shooter. Dellavedova gets streaky here and there, and the same with Shumpert and Smith. If I was Golden State, I would go under all those screens and make them become a perimeter shooting team and not let LeBron just back down the defender, back down David Lee on the pick and roll. You know, trap him, bring somebody in, make somebody else beat you. And I'm waiting on Kerr to make that adjustment. If Cleveland,
that would be a good move if Kerr was to do that. I like that. Mm-hmm.
If he did that and they beat him from the 3-point line, and you take your hat off to Cleveland and say, hey, we made the only adjustment that we had possible to make, you know, to what you guys are doing. But given that, that's the only way you can hide David Lee on defense. I agree, he's a liability, but you're going to have to go into a softer zone, go under all those screens, and say, you know, you're going to have to beat me from 18 to 22 feet. If you win, God bless.
We will see, gentlemen. I love the passion, man. This is interesting, both sides. And like you said, it's going to be an exciting game, and this is the pivotal game in the series. So we'll know. We'll have an idea after tomorrow night's game. Let's talk about this. Growing up, LeBron, Michael Jordan.
Oh, Lord.
Is the debate still going on, or is it no contest? I'm going to say no contest. MJ all the way, 6 titles, amazing. Set the league on fire, you know, the whole brand. He's still branding us now. That to me.
Right.
What about you, Rob? What do you think? What do you think, Rob?
Well, I still say it's a no contest at this point, yeah. I mean, you're going to have to see somehow for LeBron James to even come close or have to win another 3 or 4 titles. And not only win 3 or 4 titles, I think he has to be the leader and the best player on his team, like Michael
right.
Jordan was for 6 titles. And that's why I differ on the debate both versus Kobe versus LeBron. I think LeBron has a better chance of surpassing Kobe than he does Michael, because in my opinion, Kobe was the best player on his team just for 2 of those 5 championships. And LeBron, if he was to win the third one this year, in my book, he surpasses Kobe, because he'll be the best player on his team for 3 of those titles, as opposed to being the Batman for 3 of those. Robin for 3 of those titles.
Hold on,
JQ's probably got something to say. I knew. Go ahead, JQ.
So
he's a Laker fan. I started something.
Yeah. So there are a couple things to that. I think it's a ridiculous debate in the beginning from my earlier statement that it's an apples to oranges debate. He's not Michael Jordan. He's Magic Johnson. Now, if you want to make that comparison to Magic Johnson and run with it, go for it. He's still losing it because it's going to come down the rings. And also with the MJ debate, those Chicago teams, if you talk about what he had in Cleveland before, when Donyell Marshall and Mo Williams are your second and third best players, you're fighting an uphill battle. MJ had a much better supporting cast for one, but
absolutely,
they don't play the same. They don't play the same way. So that's why I was like, you know, let that debate go. As far as Kobe, you can't penalize him for playing with arguably, you know, one of the top 3 big men of all time. You know, it wasn't like
nobody's
he chose.
Nobody's penalizing him, though. We're just saying.
But
you're
nobody's penalizing him. But if LeBron had the same type of player, if you're going to compare that, if LeBron had the same kind of big man in his prime and dominant like that as well, how many more championships would he have as well? That's why I don't think you base it based off a total of championships either.
Well, it depends.
Go ahead, JQ.
Because Shaq has his own.
That's the case. Robert Ory is the best player in the NBA.
Oh, well, it just can't be rings. It can't just be rings. It has to be rings in combination with talent, with the MVPs and the scoring and the leadership abilities. It's all that put together. And I think you have to give Kobe a little bit more due, because you have to say, if without Kobe, how many rings does Shaq have? So, you know, they were like a 1A and a 1B. And I think a lot of times what Kobe's contributions get swept under the rug. So I'm not as quick to make that that statement. I give you that for LeBron and Shaq. He probably would have as many rings. But, again, how well would LeBron and Shaq have meshed? And would they have gotten the same kind of beat that Kobe and Shaq got into? They may have. You never know. Because, you know, I've heard Shaq can be kind of difficult to be with in those years as a teammate. So, you know, I ease off of that. You know, you're comparing, you know, just a great superstar to another great superstar. But to the original question,
oh, no doubt
LeBron
about it. I'm not doubting
LeBron
him being a great player.
The LeBron and MJ debate is just crazy because they just don't play the same kind of game. And plus, you know, MJ is always going to get the nod for what he's done for the game of basketball. And also, MJ had that killer instinct like Kobe has, where they just want to, you know, take your throat out. You know, they want to do it Mortal Kombat style and take it out your throat and hold it up in the air like Kano and kiss it. You know, and LeBron doesn't necessarily have that kind of mentality. So I can't compare them because they're just a different kind of cat.
You know, Robert, we knew that was going to happen whenever we talked about Kobe and having a Laker fan on the line. So, you know, we kind of.
I'm sorry.
But it was good. It was good. No, I mean, like
I kicked
saw
to something there. I kicked something there.
Well, we're always going to have that debate, you know, Kobe and Shaq. Because,
but I think
as far as all-around
overall player, it's just a matter of time. I think at the moment I still have Kobe ranked ahead of LeBron, but it's just a matter of time before when you look at completeness of a player, making teammates better. I never saw Kobe make a teammate better. And LeBron James has got that in his game. And it's just a matter of time. He's got a more complete game than Kobe Bryant from a rebounding standpoint, from a passing standpoint, from a scoring standpoint. He's just a more complete player than Kobe Bryant is. And before it's all said and done, he would definitely surpass Kobe. But surpassing Jordan, that's going to be extremely difficult to do.
Hold on, Jacob, before you get started. I'm going to have your point. This is what I'm going to say. And this is how this is one of the pivotal points, too, because you think about it, and I think the way that Kobe was raised, man, he didn't have a lot. You know, he was always kind of the
music. Not doubting Kobe is a good player, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great player, but I think how he was raised, he was kind of a loner, you know. So he kind of had a lot of things going against him, and that's what made him who he is. I mean, his dad was like, "Hey, you get yours, you know, you be the greatest player," and he's had that killer instinct, and he's kind of been and I'm not gonna say selfish, but he's just been about him, you know, and he's been a great player. LeBron is a little bit different because LeBron is more of a like Robert said, he's more of a team player, and it's just because he's kind of like trying to get his teammate involved. That's not a knock on Kobe. Kobe's got his, and he's a great player. So that's kind of what I just want to make sure that we understand that we are definitely talking about Kobe's a great player, but he's different from LeBron and different from, you know, MJ and those different type of aspects too. So, you know, anyway, I just want to throw that out there because I know you're getting – I can just feel like the steam coming out of the phone, man. So I love it.
No. Well, the thing about it too is you got to give – I think LeBron can get there. Right now, I agree with you. Kobe is better, but LeBron could surpass him. He definitely has the talent, absolutely. But also, he's bigger. You know, he has the same athleticism, but he's bigger. You know, he's Magic Johnson in Karl Malone's body, and we just haven't seen that kind of athlete, you know, probably ever.
So he can
get to that point. Don't get me wrong. He can definitely get to that point. I think Kobe's ahead of him now, but LeBron definitely has the skill set, you know, to surpass him. But the other point, I think Kobe made Powell better. And I think he made Derek Fisher better. So it may not have been 15, 20 people he made better, but I think he made the two people he needed to make better so he could get those additional rings outside of Shaq. He definitely made Powell better, for sure.
Fair enough. He's going to hold on to that, Rob. Cool. Let's talk about it. We're ready to go, too, man. We'll talk about some creative stuff. But I do want to talk about some mock draft coverage. And I want to hear from JQ about this, too, man, because word of the street is that Jahlil Okafor wants to be a Laker. And I guess your thoughts on that. And then, Rob, I'm going to ask you, too, do you think Kevin Love's going to end up with the Lakers? Do you think that Jimmy Butler's going to end up with the Lakers and they're going to go out to Rondo? I've heard a lot of different things about that, too. So, number one, I'm going to ask JQ, do you think Jahlil Okafor is a fit for your Lakers?
I have a hard time with that one because he has the tool set, but I think between him and Towns, he has the bigger bust potential. Like I look at him as just a bigger Jared Sellinger with the way his body type is and the way he keeps himself conditioned or lack thereof. And his defensive upside is not as good as Karl Anthony Towns. But when you have somebody that has the ability that can maybe can fill out, but round their game a little bit better, and he's 6'11", you know, and he has a decent offensive set already, you know, it's hard to pass on that kind of size and talent with a number two pick. When, you know, you're looking at the Moody, who you haven't really seen, being in China, and Russell, who I love from Ohio State. But, you know, when you get with those guards, sometimes that bust rate is just as high. So I want him to succeed, but if he were to be a bust, it wouldn't surprise me, if that makes sense.
That's okay. Rob Ford, what do you think, sir?
As far as Okafor, well, obviously the Lakers is a JQ team, but obviously – if Towns is one, the Lakers are going to have to take Okafor. The one thing you love about Okafor's game is you know he's got a low post game already, so he should be able to come right in and get you 12 to 15 points in a low block. He's got big hands. Now, the liability issue, how well will he transition to being a good defensive player in the NBA? And that's where Towns is superior to
right.
Okafor at this level. And Towns will run the floor a little bit more athleticism than Okafor. But the one area where Okafor is ahead of Towns is in the low post block. And so, that's the area where he's going to have to come in and contribute. And hopefully he can be a solid defensive rebounder. And, you possibly got a chance to have a decent front court with Julius Randle if they can kind of develop together. But, there's also I do see the bust potential as well. How much effort is he going to give at the next level? How much is he willing to grow as a player too? But he also has potential to turn out to be a solid, just like any draft pick. It's 50-50 on what kind of player they're going to be. But he has definitely potential to be a solid low post scorer in the NBA and contribute in that area as a rookie. And regarding the free agent.
I was just going to say, and you touched on it, how well does he and Randall's game mesh together is my other point when you draft him at two. Can either one of them step away from the basket and give the other one space to operate in that low post, and the other one develop more of a mid-range game so they can kind of play off each other?
That's a good point. And I think, out of those two players, Okafor might have more potential as far as stepping out hitting the 15-footer down the line. Randall hasn't shown that yet. But Randall is going to be a lot more physical when it comes to hitting the glass on both the defense and offensive end as well. And regarding those free agent moves, Kevin Love, I think he's definitely going to return to Cleveland. I know there were some issues, this year with LeBron getting on him and things of that nature and causing a little bit of friction. But I think even watching this team go to the NBA Finals, I think he definitely wants to return. I think he's going to honor that commitment of his word. So I definitely see him back with the Cleveland Cavaliers on next year. Now, Rajon Rondo, a strong chance of being the Lakers. They're going to want to try to figure out what happened with him in Dallas. I think there's a great chance that he can be a Laker on next season. But I think he's going to want to know how healthy is Kobe Bryant. And I think once those answers are, once he gets some answers to that question, he may want to sign and, like I said, play with the Lakers. Jimmy Butler, I don't see it. I think somehow Chicago finds a way to keep him in Chicago. But Rajon Rondo of the three definitely has the better chance of being a Laker.
Yeah, and just real quick to piggyback on that, I think Kevin Love has to resign. Because also from what the standpoint of when they made the trade, they had a kind of a wink-wink handshake agreement that he would stay. And two, how do you watch a team without you go to the finals and you say you want to be a winner and you had never made the playoffs in Minnesota and now you get to the, you helped throughout the season. You played in the playoffs and you got hurt. And watch them go this far, win or lose, and say, oh, I'm going to leave and go somewhere else. Because clearly staying in Cleveland gives you the best chance to win it all. So that, from a PR standpoint, will make him look terrible to leave Cleveland right now. He has to at least give it a year with all of them being healthy. And if it doesn't work out, then, okay, you can move on. It didn't work out. But to leave right now is not going to be in his best interest.
Absolutely. And you think about it. Let's see. Golden State, if they do come back and win this series, Cleveland getting a healthy Kevin Love, a healthy Kyrie Irving, and they able to keep Tristan Thompson going in next season, they got to be the odds-on favorite to win the title next year. And so that has to show some kind of motivation. But I agree, even if Cleveland does win this series, they're still the favorite going in the next season. So, it would be crazy for them to leave.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Hey, Rob, we got about 90 seconds. Let's go ahead and wrap this show up and head into the OT portion. Thomas flying by, having so much fun. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, man, we've been having fun talking NBA. We're going to be on the air on next Tuesday night, people. We're going to be back on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. That's 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. That's going to be 5 p.m. This will be right around the time you guys are getting off work in Hawaii. So you definitely want to tune in. And we're going to be talking more NBA, of course. We're going to eventually start swinging into our previews for the NFL and college football here pretty soon after the NBA season. So you definitely want to stay abreast of what's going on. Make sure you guys like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter, Make sure you keep up with what's happening in the sports world and what's going on with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going into our OT portion. We can't get that to you live. So tune in tomorrow to listen to the rest of our NBA coverage. Good night, people.
Stay classy.
JQ, anything you want to say?
Stay classy.
I'm gonna let you do that moment. I'll be quiet. Let you have your wrap up there, JQ, as well. All right, America, appreciate you listening in. OT portion, we're going to talk a little bit more about some NBA, get into a little baseball, and then we're going to talk about our top five two-sport athletes of all time. Good night, people.
All right, good night, America.
Let's have some fun, guys. I want to ask one more question. We'll probably spend some time talking about the mock draft next week, or as we get ready to wrap up for the week of the 25th here of June. But are there any superstars in the draft? Do you think there's anyone that's going to be like a definite superstar coming in this draft so far, sir?
I think they have some players that have potentials to be stars. I don't see a superstar in this draft. I don't see an Anthony Davis. I don't see a LeBron James. I don't see a superstar-type player, but I think there are some players that have potential. I think D'Angelo Russell quietly can turn out to be a star in this draft. This guy's got great athleticism. And in some ways, you can make a case of him being the number one pick. He might have more upside of anyone in this draft. Emmanuel Mudiay, who played last year in China instead of playing 1 year in college, he went to China and played professionally. He's a 6'5 point guard with tremendous skills. I think he's got a chance to be a real sleeper, a real star in this draft as well. Like I said, they got some guys got potentials to be a star, but I don't see a superstar.
What about you, JQ?
I agree. I feel like there's some all-stars in the making, but not that superstar where, you know, you give them that $120 million Nike contract. But for me, I agree with those two that Rob came with, and I'm going to go with Justice Winslow. I love his game, what he showed, especially in that run for Duke. If he gets in the right system, he can be that Draymond Green kind of player that just catapults himself onto the scene and makes himself a lot of money and makes himself a very solid rotational player. And I love Frank the Tank. I call him a middle class Dirt and the Whiskey. I think he has the tool set, you know, to step away from the basket in the way in this space and pace NBA style where you need your big man to be able to move away and shoot the three pointer, especially if he goes into the right system where they utilize his talents. He could be really good. But a superstar, I agree. I don't think there's a superstar in this draft.
Love it. Let's talk about real quick about the Warriors being Oakland's last great title hope before we talk about a little baseball here. And I'm going to agree right now. They're probably the closest right now. The Raiders, unfortunately, they're a joke right now. And the A's, yeah. So, yeah, they're the last title hope. Hopefully they'll be good. Anyone else? What do you think about that, Rob?
Well, Oakland, I mean, the Raiders may only be playing in Oakland another year or two at the most. They may be moving back to Los Angeles. So so that's gone out the window. The A's are in last place right now. So I think you pretty much covered that, this Warriors team. And obviously, they keep this core together in Golden State, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They'll be competitive for a while. But they're getting ready to move to San Francisco in another year or two. So will they win the title before they move to across the Bay Bridge?
JQ?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. It's Golden State. Like you said, the Raiders are a joke. And the A's, they have their periods where the money ball brings them into the playoffs, but they kind of go against the grain of trying to load with superstars and paying the superstar contracts. And you can get away with that in baseball, but I don't think they'll be in there being the best shot for Oakland. I think it's the Warriors hands down.
And it's so amazing how things are going to evolve. I'm going to talk about two quick things, guys, and I want to table this for your top five two-sport athletes of all time. Just a quick shout-out to a Giants rookie pitcher, Chris Heston. He pitches no-hitter last night, which is phenomenal. Guy's got a bright future. As well as the Angels' Alberto Pujols. He ties Mickey Mantle for 16th place for the home run list, which is 536. He made
that
it,
Albert.
So a lot of props for those two guys. Yeah, that's phenomenal stuff, too, so. We don't have to talk a lot about that. Just want to give some quick shout-outs about that, too. Just because I want to save enough time for our top five two-sport athletes of all time, man. This is a pretty pretty interesting thing. I'm pretty sure we're probably going to have some interesting players on the list. Do you want to start it out, Rob or JQ? I'm kind of like throwing out who wants to start this real quick, so I can kind of go either direction here. So flipping a coin here. Who wants to start this off?
I didn't know if we were going to get to that one. The ones I have off the top of my brain and that I have that, you know, I think everybody has is Bo and Deion. And what they did, you know, I'm a Reds fan, and watching Deion, you know, come in on the helicopter and play for the Reds and then fly out and go play for the Falcons, I mean, that will always live with me. And then you know, with Bo, he used to kill my Bengals, you know, 85-yard touchdowns like it was, you know, OTAs, and then running the wall in Kansas City. I mean, those two for me just stick out. I'll throw it to you guys for any other ones that you want to put out there, but those to me are just the top two, and it just ends with those two for me.
Well, I'm going to go old school a little bit on you guys. Yeah. I'm going to go the originator, the two sport, Jim Thorpe, going back to the early 1900s.
Okay.
In 1912, he's a track star and a football star. He's in a college and pro football Hall of Fame. And also, he was a gold medalist in the 1912 Stockholm Olympics as well. He was probably the first real true two sport athlete. You go back to Jim Thorpe. I mean, and what a great college football defensive back. If you know the college football defensive back of the year is named the Jim Thorpe Award as well. And and then another guy, probably a lot of people don't even know he played another sport, Jim Brown, greatest running back arguably in NFL history, was a dominant lacrosse player. And he's in the Lacrosse Hall of Fame and a pro and college football Hall of Fame. And so he was a dominant two-sport athlete as well. And arguably, you can make a case of being the best running back of all time in NFL history. Here's a guy that JQ from your neck of the woods, Bullet Bob Hayes.
Yes, sir.
Definitely a track star. Yeah, Olympic guy, 1964 in Tokyo, also a football star as well. Another huge two-sport athlete. JQ covered Bo Jackson already. Obviously, and definitely in our era of watching sports, I don't think there's anybody been better than Bo Jackson. Definitely in our era, a real elite football star. And you hate to see he got hurt. Got hurt and obviously cut his athletic career short, so he definitely hated to see that. And another guy besides Dion, I'm going to talk about Charlie Ward.
I was going to say that. Dang it, you told mine.
Heisman Trophy football quarterback, played in the NBA and basketball. Another really good two-sport athlete as well. Very underrated two-sport athlete. Played in the NBA for a long time, almost 10 years. And also a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at Florida State.
Yes, sir.
That weird man, I can't believe that was you stole my thunder, man. I was gonna hold that one out there, man.
You should have went first, man. Nobody would have stole your thunder.
So now I gotta pull some old school out on you. Jackie Robinson ran track and he did baseball. What about that, Rob? Did you have him on the list?
There you go. He wasn't in my top five, but that's a good one.
You're not top five. I'm also gonna go with Kenny Lofton was pretty awesome. He wasn't awesome. Let's go with something that's kind of easier to go with. I like Brian Jordan for the Falcons.
Yeah, he's another one. Yeah,
too, man. So, but you know, I'm not gonna. Everyone else, those are the main ones too. If you want to go old school, you got Dave Winfield, a little old school here. Tony Gonzalez, you can go a lot of routes too. But you know, and even Herschel Walker too. So. And it was funny. I saw somebody try to make a joke and put Michael Jordan on there with baseball, but that was hilarious.
Not quite. You got to be at least pretty good in both sports.
I was ready to say.
I think that was somebody. I think somebody was joking.
You gotta make
out the Michael. Go ahead. I know, man.
Exactly.
But anyway, that was a good list, Rob. I think everyone had the same thing. You know, Deion Sanders being in Atlanta, Bo. You know, Jim Brown was classic. I mean, you know, that's been phenomenal. And Jim Thorpe, even going back to him back in the day, was pretty phenomenal because he's had a lot of awards too, man. So kind of an outside one. I don't know if he played a lot too. I know he played football, and I know we were freaking on it all day. But I think LeBron played a little football too, if I'm not mistaken, too. And then, you know, I don't know. I think he could have been a pretty good tight end, if what we're hearing too. a lot of good sports athletes from the Allen Iversons and the Ronald Currys and the
Michael
Vicks as well too, man. So
yeah.
So there's a lot of players. I don't know if they're like top five, but maybe they're at least worth an honorable mention at that particular function too, man. A lot of good athletes out there, obviously.
Well, you know, believe it or not, I'm just gonna mention this real briefly. Allen Iverson and LeBron James, if they would have stayed with football, both would have been highly recruited. Believe it or not. I know LeBron played up until his sophomore year, and Florida State was on him pretty heavily as far as being a football player. And LeBron, and even Allen Iverson, small in stature, and, you know, he was very highly recruited as a football player as well.
Yeah, but LeBron was going to Ohio State. He already said it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was already Yep. What was the gesture, Rob, between LeBron James and Jim Brown? What was that about?
Well, I just, you know, it was a brief little gesture. We saw Jim Brown sitting on the front row last night and just bowed down to him. And, you know, I thought that was pretty classic. You know, you're talking about a young superstar today recognizing a living legend when it comes to sports. And I thought that was just a great moment last night before the game when those two had that interaction last night.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a little cold water on that. That was awesome and what he was trying to do. What I would have loved for Jim Brown to do, because if you remember some years ago, Jim Brown got on all the black athletes about not doing more to support the community. And I would have loved for him to say, you know, I appreciate that gesture, but what I would appreciate more is if they came out and did more political and social awareness. And they did a little bit of that in Miami with the Trayvon Martin with the hoodie, but it still bothers me with the amount of money that these brothers are making that they don't take more of a stand and make their voices heard more politically and socially outside of, you know, building their brand and being marketing. So I think that could have been a point where Jim could have, you know, not necessarily been a douche about it, so to speak, where he took it in and said, yeah, I appreciate him honoring me, but, you know, if you really want to honor me, don't bow to me, follow in my footsteps in terms of my social activism. I would have loved to hear him say that. Wow. So I appreciate that gesture on the court, but I would love to see the more of the gesture off the court, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. That's a good call.
JQ. Nice. 4 minutes here, guys. We're going to wrap this bad boy up. This is all Rob here. Top baseball nicknames of all time. I know we didn't think we were going to get to this. Rob, this may be all you, sir. What you got for us, man?
Well, you know, you know, George Herman Root, man. You can't pass up the Babe and the Bambino. I mean, that's probably the most recognizable nickname in baseball history, you know, Babe Root. But a guy you guys should be familiar with, too, in Atlanta was one of my favorites, the Crime Dog. Fred McGriff. That was one of my favorite nicknames when it came to baseball, man, the Crime Dog. Fred McGriff. Vince Coleman, you know, was a classic stolen base guy. They had a nickname for him in St. Louis, Vincent Van Gogh. And Ricky Henderson, the Man of Steel, another guy who was a classic, you know, stolen base guy. And last but not least, Mariano Rivera from the Yankees. Called him the Sandman. You know, those are just five that I was able to come up with on the top of my head.
Wow.
But, you know, the Babe Ruth and the Crime Dog are my favorites, though, of course, the Bambino.
I like
so
the Wizard, the Wizard of Oz. Yep, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Wizard of Oz, Ozzie Smith.
Yeah, the Wizard of Oz. Mr. October, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Good one. Good one.
Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle. And I just had another one, and it left me just that fast. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was thinking of Dwight Doc Gooden, man. Remember him? You know, that was a, you know, he used to call him Doc, man. Those are, like I said, I think we hit the nail on the head with a lot of the nicknames. Charlie Hustle, you said it. But man,
Eric, good names. Eric Davis, Eric the Red.
Yeah.
I gotta go with my Red.
Eric the Red.
Yeah, good JQ
stuff.
Coming out with
Iron
Pete
man,
Rose, Eric Davis. Everybody played for the Reds.
he's a little biased over there.
He's a homer, bro. I tell you that.
He's coming correct, too. That's okay.
But Charlie Hustle is universal, though. Charlie Hustle is pretty good, though. That's universal.
All right, well, Mr. October, I give him that. He's a Yankee.
Yep.
Great, I love it. Great show, guys. Hey, Rob, we got a minute. We'll go ahead and wrap this bad boy up, sir.
Thanks a lot for tuning in, everyone. Once again, we'll be back on Tuesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends down up in Germany, that's going to be 5 a.m. Hopefully you guys will wake up, set the alarm, and listen to us on next Wednesday morning for you all.
Wake up.
Yeah, there you go. It'll be Tuesday night, once again, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be more NBA coverage. And once again, next week or two, we'll start tuning in to start previewing for football season. Yeah. Good night, people.
Oh, good night, America. Well, fellas, next week.
Yeah, I love the energy, fellas, man. What a great show. We'll keep it going. You know, not to say we're always going to take a week off, but that's what we do, man. So we enjoyed it. And stay tuned for well, too. Fellas, enjoyed it. Rob, we'll talk
always.
Soon. JQ, have a great